Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now so you can be a part of the broadcast and pose your question or seek direction for the real-life issues you face. So we invite your calls right now. 1-800-677-9377. Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. We want to hear from you, so call now. 1-800-677-9377. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, it is day 19 of our 28-day forgiveness challenge. We've been having more fun this month talking about the forgiveness that we have in Christ Jesus. And as I've mentioned, this is the door that gets open to us to the life of Christ.
Yes.
When we know that our sins are forgiven, that opens up his life to us in ways that we never dreamed imaginable. And that's what God wants for us. Salvation isn't about forgiveness of sins. That's just the means to accomplish the end, and that end is new life. God has given us new life in Jesus Christ. We're not going to embrace that life. We're not going to step into it fully if we think there's still a punishment issue that has been unresolved, that has been undealt with. But God dealt with it. He dealt with it in full. He took away our sins. Now, we have trouble with that, and we talk with people all the time, not only on the radio broadcast, but in conferences and just, you know, day-to-day ministry, that struggle with the forgiveness issue. They struggle thinking that God could fully take away their sins, could pay their debt in full. They think that they have to do something. Others struggle with the fact that, well, maybe God's forgiven me, but I can't forgive myself. And that's what we've been dealing with this week, those who have a hard time forgiving themselves. And one of the reasons that people have a hard time doing that is because they allow their past to define who they are today. And when I say they allow their past, I'm talking about a specific sin that they've committed in the past. And they say, well, that's who I am today. I know God loves people, but you know, I'm this, and so he can't really love me. We see that with a lot of folks that struggled with sexual promiscuity as teenagers. They get so guilt-ridden and shameful about what they've been through that's who they are today. So they've allowed their past to define who they are today, and therefore they're unworthy of God's love today. Well, if you will realize that Christ took away those sins, that Christ died, that Christ paid the penalty, that Christ took the punishment, when you really embrace that, you can let go of that past and you can embrace this new identity that you have in Christ Jesus. I love how Paul put it in Romans chapter 8, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." If you belong to Christ, you are a child of God. Maybe you've committed some incredible sins in the past, but those don't define you. You committed those because you were lost. You were dead in sin. Now you have been made alive together with Christ. He's given you a brand new identity, a new spirit, a new heart. Everything's new about you. Allow that truth to define who you are today, and when you embrace that, you'll be able to let go of the past.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. As we said at the outset, Bob Christopher is here, Richard Piper is here, and my name is Bob Davis. Again, thank you for joining us. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock, plenty of open lines, and we'd love for you to come in and be a part of the conversation right now. 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go to Jersey City and talk with Nick, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Nick.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. Hey. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. How about you?
Excellent. Very good. My question is, just generally, and as much as you could give me on it, as a believer, what are the ramifications of sin? When we do sin, what are the ramifications, or could they be, as a believer?
Well, Nick, I think we have to be specific with what sins are you talking about. So in general, the wages of sin is death. So when sin entered into the world, death entered into the world. That's the ultimate consequence. But there are other ramifications to it, and we understand that. So say in marriage, a husband decides to commit adultery. Well, what's the ramification of that sin? Well, it's a very troubled marriage at that point. You have damaged a wife. You have rejected her in a way that makes her feel terrible, and the relationship may be irreparable. And it may cause a split and divorce. And if there's kids involved, there's going to be pain and suffering that they go through. So when you're talking about what are the consequences of adultery, you can see them very tangibly expressed. If you steal something from a neighbor, you have jeopardized that particular friendship. If you get caught by the law, there's going to be punishment by the law. You might have to spend some time in jail, or you might have to make retribution because the law says that. So there are consequences to those decisions and choices that we make.
Okay.
But the ultimate consequence is death, and Jesus stepped into our place and took that for us.
Right. Well, I was thinking more specifically of spiritual consequences, spiritual ramifications as a believer when you sin, and what does that do to us spiritually?
Well,
there's
going to
be worldly consequences.
Well, Nick, it doesn't, spiritually, if you're saved, your spiritual life is still intact. It's still there. You still have it. It doesn't change what God thinks of you. It doesn't change his posture towards you. You're still in his favor. You're still in his grace. Sin messes up our thinking. So if we sin,
okay. I understand that.
So we can feel, because of what we think, we can feel like God's a million miles away. We can feel like he's disgusted with us. We can feel all of those things. So sin will help us latch on to error, to things that aren't true. And that's where all of those feelings of guilt and shame and that sort of thing come from. And that's why we need God's Spirit living inside of us to correct that thinking, to get us back to truth.
So that can lead into other problems like depression and anxiety and thoughts like that.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Most
definitely.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Nick. Thanks for your call.
Again, 1-800-677-9377.
Yeah, Richard, sin is a horrible thing.
It is.
It's not a neutral thing. We just look at it as an act, and you commit it, and then it's done with, and it has no further effects. But that's not true. Sin is one of those things that starts to grab a hold of you. It's like one of those bear traps. You step into it, and once you try to set yourself free, the trap gets tighter and tighter and tighter and tighter. That's the way sin is, and it really impacts our thinking. It impacts, how we perceive God. So sin is starting to direct our thinking at that particular point. And it's always going to direct us away from truth, not toward truth.
Yes.
That's why we need to rely on God's Spirit to bring us back to truth, bring our minds back to truth.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Washington, D.C. and talk with Ruth, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Ruth.
We praise Jesus to all of you, and thank you for taking my call. I just have a problem with many Christians, not many, but well, maybe many in a sense, when they teach that when a person gets saved, that they are always saved. And I, based on the scriptures that I've read, that the Bible teaches that there is not any sin going to enter the kingdom of God, and that we do sin after we become saved, but he said for us to repent and get back in fellowship with him. They're there in 2 Peter, the second chapter, says the dog is returned to his own vomit. And
well, then there's a Ruth, he's not talking about believers there. He's talking about unbelievers. He's talking about false prophets. And they're just going to show their true colors at some point. They're going to show that they're dogs because they're going to return to their own vomit. But as far as believers are concerned, he says that once Christ has given a person life, that life is forever. And the reason it's forever is because Jesus lives forever. It's his life that we get when we receive him.
We still have free will. He didn't make us robots. So in Hebrews, the 6th chapter and other chapters, tell us that we got to get back in line with him. That's all I'm saying. That's my belief. But
okay.
Thanks anyway for taking my call, and thank you for your, analogy.
Well, you're welcome, Ruth, and I just encourage you to keep listening. Because, the idea of once saved, always saved, that's a phrase that we've coined or that certain denominations have coined. You're not going to find that in the Word of God. It's a much bigger idea. It's a much bigger truth. And salvation is much bigger than simply receiving forgiveness of sin. Salvation is much bigger than simply receiving a place in heaven when we die. Salvation is something that changes us from the inside out here and now. So we were dead spiritually, and when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, and we come to faith in Jesus Christ because Christ has initiated, has come to us in grace, we respond to that by faith. So salvation is by grace through faith. When that occurs, we go from death to life. We're born again. Our spirits are made alive with Christ. And then God's Spirit comes to live inside of us. Now, God has said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. That's what he said. Now, he's going to be faithful to that promise. Yes, we're going to sin. Yes, we're going to blow it. Yes, we're going to give in to the temptations of the world, the desires of the flesh. That's just part of being human, living in this world, housed in a body of flesh. Those things are going to happen. But in the midst of all that, God says, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. In the midst of that, God says, because Jesus lives, you live. And our salvation is secure as long as Jesus is alive. The only way that we would be able to lose our salvation is if Jesus died. Jesus isn't going to die. He is alive forever. He has an indestructible life. That's the guarantee of our salvation. And because he's alive and because he lives inside of us, he is going to preserve us. He is going to keep us moving down the path that he wants us to go. Are we going to make turns to the left and turns to the right? Absolutely. But does that change the overall direction that God is moving us in? Absolutely not. We are going to keep going down this path of being conformed to the image of Christ Jesus. God predestined that to be a reality. So to anyone who comes to him by faith, he is going to complete the work of conforming us to the image of Christ. That's his guarantee. That's his promise. And what we know about God is that he is faithful to each and every promise that he's ever made.
And that's a message worth repeating, friends. And I want to remind you that this month, for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, you're going to receive Bob Christopher's message called In the Love of God. To make your gift and request your copy, visit basicgospel.net or call and speak with our operator at 800-727-2828. Again, 800-727-2828.
Well, thank you, Bob. Let's go to Harlingen, Texas, and talk with Jacob, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Jacob.
Well, hello. How are you?
Doing wonderful. How are you today, my friend?
Well, I'm about probably 48% as good as you, but I think I'm okay, but I am open to a second opinion.
Okay.
I guess you'll tell me if I'm okay. At any rate, I don't know, Michelle, I believe was the lady, your answer uh-huh. name, and I don't know what she told you, but actually I'm headed down to Harlingen, about half the Corpus in Harlingen. And I heard the show, and I thought, well, It seems your last couple of questions were talking about sin. Did the lady tell you that I'm a Christian? I'm a Jewish person.
She put that down for us, so we see that on the screen. Well, Jacob, it sounds like we just lost you. You must be going through a bad cell or something. And he cut off.
Call us back, please.
Yeah, yes, definitely. Call us back. It's kind of interesting. I love the fact that he identified himself as a Jewish person. And he would have something to say to us Christians about forgiveness,
yes,
based on what the law says. And he would know full well that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. That's what the Day of Atonement was all about. I mean, people could plead and beg and feel sorry and all of those sort of things, but the only way that they could receive forgiveness was by the blood of bulls and goats offered on the mercy seat. And that's what Christ became. He became that once-for-all final sacrifice. Jacob, are you back with us?
Yes, I am. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. So what did you have a question today, or what was on your mind?
Yes, thank you. And I'll be honest with you, we do a radio show also, and I have a co-host that is a very active, pretty well-known Christian gentleman. And this last Sunday night, we got several calls from Christians talking about your subject of sin. And one thing that I found interesting, and I was interested in your comment, I'm Jewish, obviously, but I'm a great respecter and lover of Christianity. It's a great religion. It's very compassionate, built on love. And I think it's wonderful, and I think Christians should be Christians. But as far as the sin goes, I noticed one thing last Sunday night when people were calling in, that there seemed to be a confusion, and I was wondering about your comments, on how you identify what is sin. Now, you know, in a Jewish mindset, it's not difficult. But I notice in several of the Christian approaches, they seem to have some type of a little fuzziness, if I may, a little confusion. What would be your thoughts on that?
Well, Jacob, excellent question. As far as sin is concerned, the first way to identify it is as a transgression of the law. So if the law says don't commit adultery, and you commit adultery, you know that's sin. You know that's a violation of the law. So that's the letter of it. The spirit of it gets down to the heart. And the root of all sin is unbelief. Unbelief in God, unbelief in Jesus Christ is how it's defined in the New Testament. So that's the root, and then the fruit would be those violations of the law, transgressions of the law. And then when you ultimately look at what the Word of God has to say, it becomes a violation or a transgression of love, a missing of the mark of love. When I do something to offend you, Jacob, I've missed love, haven't I? And God has called us to extend love one to another. So if I do something to hurt you, to offend you, I've missed that mark. And that's ultimately what sin is, missing the mark of love. And the root of that is unbelief. Are you there, Jacob? Okay, well, we appreciate your call. We're going to talk with Keith, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Keith. Keith, are you there? Well, let's put Keith on hold, and let's try Obadiah in New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Obadiah.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate your truth that you speak in the Word of God. I think that we know that David was born again, King David.
Well, he did not have the Spirit of God indwelling him as we have today. The Spirit had not been given. The Spirit came upon people in the Old Testament. That's why he prayed Lord, don't take your spirit from me. Why? Because he had seen God remove the spirit from Saul, the first king. So the Spirit of God came upon the people in the Old Testament for particular works of service or particular purposes. In the New Testament, once Pentecost came, God's Spirit came to dwell inside of folks. We became the dwelling place of God here on earth. That's why the writers of the New Testament would liken us to the temple of God. Why? That's where God lives, in us, you and me, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Now, doesn't the Bible say that the prophets had the Spirit of Christ?
They had the Spirit of Christ inspiring them, compelling them, but not indwelling them. That's
had the truth in them. They had the truth in them, Christ in them, the Bible says. You'll find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, I think.
Well, it says they were moved by the Spirit. I'm going to continue to make the distinction that the saints of old simply had the Spirit of God come upon them, not to come in them. When Christ came to live inside of man, that was on the day of Pentecost. That was the first time he came to live inside of man. That's what that...
Okay, because, yeah, the Bible says that if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. You don't belong to him. Now, Adam had the Spirit of God. Even though they sinned, without the Spirit of God, they were not cast away. Now, we know that the Bible says that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. And that's true. But, you know, the Bible also says... And we, when David was talking to his Solomon, his son, before he was going to be king, he says to him, the Lord knows all the hearts and tries the reins and knows our thoughts. And he says, if you forsake him, then he will forsake you. But God never forsakes us. It's we who forsake him.
Well, Obadiah, are you trying to make the point that we can lose our salvation, that we can turn and walk away from God? Is that the point you're trying to make? Or
people have the choice in life to, in other words, you can be saved and serving the Lord. But there are people who have walked away from God, who serving the Lord, and just Demas is one that walked away from the loving this present world, the Bible says. The Bible says that...
Well, Obadiah... you know, I just don't happen to agree with you, and I don't think anyone here in this studio would agree with you. We believe that once we're saved by grace, that Christ comes to live inside of us, he makes his permanent dwelling there, and he will never leave us, and he is going to complete the work that he began in us. Faithful is he who began the work, who will complete it. And that's, I think, our hope. And that's what we're going to rest in, and that's what we're going to continue to teach. But Obadiah, we certainly appreciate your call today. Thanks for weighing in on this topic.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Well, that is such an important topic. You know, we talk about forgiveness. We talk about salvation. We think of those things as very basic, and yet they're the areas where we're most confused, where we really need to dig deep into the Word of God and to find truth. And that's what this program is all about. And when we're asking you to support Basic Gospel, we're asking you to support the proclamation of the Word of God, conversations that will help people think through the basic issues of the faith, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ Jesus. And certainly we need your help right now. If you can help us through the end of this month, we would greatly appreciate it to get us out of these summer doldrums and into the fall. We need your help.
Yes, indeed. And for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, you're going to receive Bob Christopher's message called In the Love of God, a message in which you'll discover the depths of God's love for you, and he loves you a lot. In the Love of God, it's the most secure place you can be, and this message is yours, as I said, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, visit basicgospel.net or call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again next week for another live edition of Basic Gospel. Bye-bye.